Hey, everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show today. We are joined by a very, very special guest, Mr. Daniel Allegra, the CEO of Yuga Labs, the company that is responsible for Bored Ape Yacht Club, Mutant Ape Yacht Club. They now own Meebits, CryptoPunks, and of course, their entire gaming enterprise. We talked to Daniel about his background before at Activision and at Google and how different it is to be an executive in the NFT and crypto space, the Web3 world, if you will. He shares insight on what the future of Bored Apes look like, their long-term vision, the in-real-life clubhouse, and so much more. It's a great episode of the show. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Nifty Show number 660. Today, we're going to be talking about yesterday's NFT disasters all across the board, on Ordinals, on Ethereum, on Solana, and what's going on there. It's getting crazy.
I didn't even know that.
Hey, Nick, you want a $400 keyboard? Anyways, and we're going to be
trying $300 keyboard.
I love that. Nick doesn't get the reference.
No, Nick has no idea. And then at halfway through the show, we're going to be joined by the one and only Daniel Allegra, the CEO of Yuga Labs, ex-COO of Activision, to discuss all things gaming, community building, and 2024 plans for Yuga Labs.
He's the star, the lead in Mission Impossible's movies. I don't know if you're aware of that as well.
I didn't get the reference.
I'm just saying that he is.
Before we get started, can I tell you guys? So last week, do you guys remember I bought a bunch of these Dwight Howard NFTs? And you guys, everyone was talking smack. Oh, Clemente's an idiot. Clemente's a dumb. I bought these at like 1.5 AVAX. I found out yesterday that these did a 10x over the weekend when Dwight Howard launched a shitcoin that rugged. These got up to like 12 AVAX, and I had no idea. Now they're sitting at literally $4. I got pumped and dumped.
Wait, so did you not exit yours?
I had one listed at 2.5 and one listed at 3.2, and they both sold. I still have one, but the highest offer on it's like literally $3. So I might buy this dip, dude. I might buy the dip. Reveal's coming. There's only 500 of these.
But right? He rubbed the meme coin too.
Yeah, dude. No, Dwight Howard out of control.
This guy very broke.
Dude, the image doesn't even load for this NFT. What's the deal with that?
So check this out. The Ballers collection has gone some game-changing plans ahead. We will now reveal $ball for all. He like added it to his roadmap. And then it dumped, it pumped, and then it dumped, and then it like pumped again, and then just completely.
Right. Was it an AVAX meme coin?
Yeah.
I mean, what initiated this thing, and like who's part of this team that's like running this behind the scenes?
I think the story is he has someone that reached out to him. You know, he's playing basketball in Taiwan. He's he's averaging 25 points a game. He's feeling good. Someone comes up to him. He's like, hey, dude, you know, you can drop these things called NFTs. You can easily make $150,000. You just sit there. It's a collectible and you're good to go. Like, sure, I'll do it. And he took the playbook, hired the guy. He had like a manager. The guy's like, I'll take a 5% cut. Right. And then he ended up doing it. The 5% cut, he hired a Fiverr artist. He did all these different things. And it just went terribly. And now he's sitting here and I don't know.
Dwight Howard hand drew those.
They look terrible. But anyways,
why can't you even see the NFT? You own one of these NFTs, but you can't even see it.
It's unsold. There's like literally like 20% of the supply sold out.
So you're saying there's no reveal yet?
No, the reveal is supposedly coming.
Wait, so this all pumped on an unrevealed NFT?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could buy into the pre-reveal dump. Like, that's like abnormal. That's not usually how it goes. This playbook was all over the map. I kind of like it. I kind of like this trade. I think you may be, this is a good long shot trade here, Clemente. Why not load up on a bunch of them at 10 bucks or something like that? Perfect. Just get like 10, 20, 50 of them.
There's only 500 of them right now, right?
There's only 500 and they're $10?
Dude, I can get one for literally $4. The most recent sale was $4.
I would just load up on a bunch of them just to see what happens. See if $100, you bet me $100. Your first bet was good. Your second bet was not so good. take the $100 that you're willing to gamble before, put it into these things, get own, 5% of the pre-reveal supply.
I'm going to become a Dwight Howard whale. He might send me a jersey, dude. I don't know. We might.
He may fly you out to Hong Kong to play basketball with him.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Before we get started today, ladies and gentlemen, today's shout out, today's Bodogo of the day is Logan23. Logan23 bought his very first Bodogo yesterday. He said, ever since I got into Solana, I've been wanting to buy a Bodogo. I've strived for it since day one. I've been putting in a lot of work recently, both Web3 and IRL. He got his first Bodogo. Look at this guy.
That's a fresh looking dog.
Fresh looking dog. So shout out to Logan. You can follow him at fanboys92, fanboys with a Z, 92. You know, we got to work with the Bodogos on optimizing their usernames a little bit. But overall, shout out to Logan. Lastly, guys, before we get started with Signal's weather report, if you have any questions for Daniel Allegri, a lot of people have been DMing us asking us questions. They're very excited for today's show. If you have anything you want to ask him, you can comment it in the space below, and we will be asking him during the interview. Nick?
I've only been getting people DMing me nudes, dude. It's getting out of control, man. Like, you guys got to stop sending that shit. It's just, it's inappropriate. But no one's sending me any Daniel Allegri questions. Actually, no, one person did. Not going to name names, but let's just say they wanted to know about me bits. And then I got, I asked someone else if they had any questions specifically in a vertical area that they pay specific attention to. And, he was like, nah, I'm good. I'll just listen. I'm like, dude, you're the expert on this space. Maybe he was just holding back. Maybe he was just like, you're not about to be my mouthpiece. Yeah. You're not about to be my mouthpiece. Anyways.
People are saying now that I'm dumping on the listeners and talking about shilling my bags. You know, I'm learning from the best. I'm learning from Nifty Nick, a.k.a. Mr. Honk. But Signal, please.
I'm out of Honk, by the way. Fully out.
Signal, please, the weather report whenever you're ready.
It's Tuesday. It's January the 30th. That ETH market volume is coming at 18 million. We've got that Solana market volume coming in at 9 million. If we look at the market leaders, you've got those little budgies. They're up to 1.7 ETH. You've got a kid called Beast that is down to 0.24 ETH. Fortune Founders Key by AOFverse is down 20%. And those Bitcoin puppets, well, they're up again. They're back up to 0.045 BTC. Over the past 24 hours, the big four stories. Firstly, obviously, crypto has entered its up only mode. This is what EZ predicted. We've got multiple day rallying just continuing yesterday. Bitcoin is up 3.2% to 43.4K. Ethereum is up 2.5%. And Solana is up 8.3%. We are back. We are back over $100. And Say is the biggest gainer. That is up 11% to 0.73. The second story of the day, over on Ordinals, the highly anticipated Quantum Cats mint that had, let's just say, various issues with its custom website, as a large portion of people couldn't mint their allocation. Various people actually managed to mint multiple, with people extremely disappointed that this team, which is considered highly technical, had these problems. The mint has been pushed back to Thursday, and meanwhile, the derivative Quantum Mice and Solana, well, that did a 10x over there after minting for 0.042 SOL each. Third story of the day, it's the meme coins, and Jupiter Exchange test meme coin when it's down 50% from its peak of 80 million market cap, with the unclaimed supply burn yesterday turning into a sell the news event. This is just the appetizer, though, people. However, we have the massive airdrop, obviously, just 24 hours away coming from Jupiter. And lastly, looking at AOF first, which was a gaming-free mint from just a few months ago, it's making the headlines after the team announced that their upcoming AFG token will feature only 1%, yeah, measly 1% of the total supply going to the NFT holders, with zero unlocks at the launch, and a 20-month schedule for all tokens to unlock. Of NFT world, Ding-a-ling dumped 143 of his AOFverse NFTs for a six-figure loss. Ouch. And the collection is down 70% in the last 7 days to 0.14 ETH floor. Lots of juicy stories, but it's back to you folks in the studio.
Clemente, quick question for you here. How does a kid called Beast keep showing up in the newsletter? This is like one of like Clemente's random obsessions show up like in the newsletter all of a sudden, like Quirky's. Quirky's was like the thing the other day.
Something, dude.
they're moving.
Why wouldn't he put them up? Dude, they ran from like 0.4 to 2 ETH in a couple of weeks.
Okay, so that may have been relevant. Where is the kid called
Beast? The kid called Beast, he definitely has like 10 of them.
I don't own any. I literally was just, I'm looking for top movers. Sometimes you literally can't find any. And the other, like there's random ass, like you go to the Blur leaderboard, Nick. This is what I do in the mornings. I'll walk you guys through it. I'm going through. I'm like, yo, what are the
no? Don't worry. Literally, just don't worry about it, Clemente. Just stop putting a kid called Beast in the newsletter over and over again. Fantastic weather report, as usual, saying a little bit of a trial by fire for Quantum Cats and the Taproot Wizards ecosystem. Welcome to the NFT space. Both founders, as Signal pointed out, very technical. Just having a little fun here. I'm sure there will be a full recovery. But NFTs ain't easy. Even if everybody on the Bitcoin maxi side, just over and over again, even as recently as a podcast that I listened to yesterday, has the same energy towards NFTs, which is literally the quote, NFTs are dumb. Anyway, first story, Lazy Lions announced that the project has officially been acquired and the collection has rallied over 50% in the last 7 days. NFT Statistics pointed out, he said, buy the insider info, sell the public facing info, because it pumped 24 hours before the announcement. Would you look at that? Next story, Shrapnel announced their first STX event will be coming on February 8th, featuring $100,000 in prizes to the top leaderboard participants and is exclusive to Extraction Pack owners. Hope you bought an Extraction Pack. Big shout out to Shrapnel. Valhalla founder Alex Lynn, remember this one, Valhalla, addressed the community after backlash following a launch of 300 designer keyboards as the highly anticipated product delivery, which cost more than $400 to holders. So a Doodle-esque moment. What's the next thing on the roadmap? Give us $500. But anyway, we will have to see. It's a good-looking keyboard. I'll tell you that. It's definitely a good-looking keyboard. Nick?
I mean...
Next story.
I did miss this story. I did see someone mention keyboard, but I didn't know why that was coming out. That's incredible.
It's a good-looking keyboard. I'll keep it 100. It reminds me of something like that Tesla would put out.
Dude, I have a really nice keyboard. Ain't cost $500. I mean, I don't like the color. I think it could be more custom, but I love the tactile nature of the keyboard. It just feels good. It's probably the best layout. It's better than even Easy's keyboard. I know he's very protective of his, he has strong preferences for keyboards as well.
It's a Pokemon keyboard.
Oh, shit. He really does have a fire keyboard.
What's super cool?
Nick, what Pokemon is that?
Bulbasaur?
The third evolution, Venusaur.
So close.
Damn. So, same thing, dude. So I'm right. That falls into the correct category as far as I'm concerned.
Close enough.
In terms of keyboard, though, mine is still better as it applies to a layout because I have this, the numeric keys and the arrows to the side of it is a key element when you're operating. I know I bumped it. It wasn't intentional. But it also has heavy weight to it. The one that Easy's working with is one that would be more portable, you know, a more portable option. There's a lot of keyboard fans. $500, though, is pretty expensive. And it's not a good place to start. And I also wonder, like, so do you need to be a holder in order to buy the $500 keyboard? Is that
no? You get a discount. You get a discount. Yeah,
300 community members get like a 10% off coupon or something.
It was literally 10% off.
I don't know what it is.
Our keyboard, the Bodago's keyboard that's in production right now, is $1,000, but holders pay $1,200. So I like the structure that we have a lot better. Anyway, moving on from the $500 keyboard, I mean, that is I love that actually happened. Last story, this is without question my favorite story from the Daily Digest, without question. Brian Johnson. Mr. Zero himself, the one and only Brian Johnson, the guy that's going to literally live forever, has announced a collaboration with Drip House featuring his Blueprint Survival Guide as a collectible. Well, 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 Brian Johnson getting into the crypto and NFT space. When are you going to come on this show, buddy? We want to have you. Nick?
What's the business? I'm confused about what the like business value for him is. Is it just more of a marketing promotional thing? Is that how it's viewed? Because Drip House NFTs are all free, right?
Yeah, he probably sees it as a way to get access to the crypto community. I don't know if anybody else has different thoughts. Easy, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I think it's just a way to get new exposure. Like, I think it's a good marketing play by him. I don't think there's anything like much beyond that. It's free. It's
easy to do. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. He sold something like $5 million worth of his products, the Blueprints products that came out via invite only. I got on that list, and then I was like, I don't want to spend $500 right now. Like,
you don't want to just give Brian Johnson's new business after he sold PayPal?
What do you get for the $500 though?
So there's a bunch of different, there's like vitamins, there's his new olive oil that's coming out, which looks good. And honestly, it's the first that I've seen in the olive oil category where he's branding something which is contrary to the way that every other olive oil is branded. If you go into the market, like it's pretty standard the way that you brand olive oil. You're going for the sort of Mediterranean vibe is what you're aiming for associated with it. There's different forms of colorful versions of it, but you're definitely looking for branches and olive trees, bushes, tree-like or bush experience that you're going for on it, and or the form that Pio has with his favorite olive oil, which is like the red. I would consider it more like a rug. Like a rug pattern sort of thing that you're going for with that, which may be like a Persian rug. So you get it's $500 for his different assets. And then you got the separate, for his like products. And then you have a separate investment that you need to make for the blood tests, which is anywhere from $500 to $1,500, depending on how detailed of information you want to get is. And I was just like, I don't know that. And you got to take the test before February 1st. And then you need to take another test afterwards, once it's complete, to see if consuming this had the impact. I think it is he's charging you for his marketing data that's going to come in to be like, 50% of people saw their average age decreased by, 35% after 30 days of taking this. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Well, he's onto something because he's selling powders, and people in 2024, like the especially in the United States, love to consume products that come in a bag or a box. What I will say real quick is that the listeners of this show have actually allowed me to expand the way that I think about olive oil, along with some key people in the NFT space whose families come from olive oil families. Since I first started talking about olive oil on this show, I've learned quite a bit, and I'm actually rethinking the way that I think about brands in the olive oil space. I bought a 3-liter of olive oil for $50, single source origin from the island of Crete in Greece.
You got some Crete oil, dude.
Yeah, I do. This one right here, baby. That's what I'm messing with right now.
Did you taste it?
I have not. It literally just arrived. I guess it's already been a week. I haven't consumed it yet.
You didn't even take a spoon to it. Just take a little shot of the olive oil.
I'll take a shot of it on this show tomorrow when Daniel's gone. How about that? During the show. But I'm also going to throw it on some pizza that I'm going to make. But anyway, real quick, before we have Daniel on, crypto is rallying once again, up only mode, as it's referred to by Easy. I had somebody pull some research for us that in the previous halvings, in this exact time frame prior to the Bitcoin halving, we see a rally. Well, I don't know what you're laughing about. It's just literally the data in the charts, Nick. I'm speaking to Fred Krueger on the Bitcoin show today.
Krueger is going to be on, dude. Excited about that, man.
I don't expect a large turnout. I don't, because I'm just seeing that the Bitcoin show just doesn't get the same turnout. But I'm going to tell you, if there's one that you should listen to, it's this one. This guy, Fred Krueger, was a Wall Street guy in the 80s and 90s. Then he left Wall Street to be an entrepreneur. He literally sold 10 companies. No joke. 10 companies from the 90s until the late 2010s. 10 of them. 10 exits. And now he's obsessed with Bitcoin and is basically just talking about not only that the significance of the Bitcoin ETF, but the significance of ETFs in general. I'm also seeing people point out that every time there's even a whiff of a pump in crypto, Solana seems to be the asset that kind of harnesses the most energy. Easy, what do you make of what we're seeing right now in the price action?
It was kind of what I thought would happen, to be brutally honest here. I was like, yeah, I think 7 to 14 days, we'll start to see a rally in crypto markets. Post ETF, we got all the news saying GBTC selling's going on. And I was like, awesome, like great. As soon as those started hitting headlines, I was like, okay, so that's probably done. And now it's starting to play out exactly like that. It seems like that has slowed, if not completely stopped. And now we are resuming up only mode, which is great. Like, you really can't complain.
The technicals are looking pretty good here right now.
Yeah, 105 is crazy, dude. That's a 30% rally off the lows, 25% rally off the lows.
Like nothing, right? Literally like nothing.
It just pumped back. Dude, you could have just bought in. I mean, I bought some at the $85 level, which felt really good. It's pretty crazy the opportunities that exist in this space to just crank out 25% like in a week.
Conservative, like a conservative. You're not buying Honk. You're buying like a top 10 coin.
Or in my case, Loan Shark Nick is out here. Basically, I'm on my second MATLAB loan. You got your second in there, Pia?
My second finished. So MATLABs, by the way, MATLABs are strong.
Yeah.
So right now, if I look, I got nothing happening right now because the loan amount went so high that now I have to deposit more Solana into this DeFi wallet I have to be able to do another MATLAB loan. Mm. What's the MATLAB floor? Like near 200?
I thought it was 175. That yesterday it was 175. I don't know what it is today.
The floor right now on MATLABs is 185. The thing is strong, dude. And by the way, the listings are under 400. It is aggressively strong, the floor of MATLABs.
I think that price is after royalties. So when you go to the lending level, it's going to actually give you a quote prior to royalties. So I think 175 is the pre-royalty level. 185 is after. I'm not 100% certain about that. But shout out to the MATLABs team who's just printing cash. Can you imagine if they're getting 10 SOL on every single trade? That's crazy. $1,000 every single time one of these is swapped. That's a crazy situation to be in. Pretty incredible. I'm in the loan shark phase, just making a nice $300 a week.
Yeah, exactly. And that's on just one loan. Easy smiling. He likes that play. Look, ladies and gentlemen, in just 3 minutes, we're going to be joined by the CEO of Yuga Labs, Daniel Allegra. Very, very excited to have him on the show. One more quick hitter before we have Daniel on. The Quantum Cats mint, disruption, I guess, is definitely significant on the Bitcoin ordinal side. I do think that they will recover. Easy, do you think that this is the most highly anticipated new collection on ordinals right now?
Absolutely. Like, I think that this is like such a no-brainer in my opinion. I think that, I mean, they did have some issues. Some people were able to mint, like, I think one person minted 150 of them, which is like absolutely crazy. But other than that, it just seems like friction and issues are not a bad thing. We've seen it on every chain. So this is kind of just like what happens. And I think that it's not the end of the world. A lot of people were obviously upset they did not get to mint their Quantum Cap, but that's largely because they wanted the free money. You know what I mean? Like that is where people were looking at it from, and they didn't get that chance to make that free cash. But all in all, it's got to be the most hyped Bitcoin mint right now by far.
I love it when a hyped mint website breaks, and I have there's nothing more bullish, dude. It just makes the FOMO like last a little bit longer. It's everybody excited.
Well, there you go. And look, we're not going to wait. We're just going to invite the CEO of Yuga Labs onto the show, Daniel Allegra. Daniel, how's it going?
It is going well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi, guys.
How's it going? Loving your background there with your neon ape.
I am a pretty avid consumer of made by ape businesses. So my clothing, my little fan, my watch, my neon, I'm all about made by apes.
All awesome. The licensing merch.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Daniel, you're a busy guy. We have limited time with you, so we're just going to dive right in. We really appreciate you joining us on the show. Back in October, in your what was effectively a blog post, but a Twitter post, you mentioned three areas of the business: community, other side, and partnerships. We want to do our best to hit on all three, but obviously, in the NFT space, community is near and dear. So I'm wondering, how does
I was going to say before the community even actually, I'm curious, but yeah.
Okay. Anyway, how does this compare to being an executive, like being an executive at Yuga Labs compared to being an executive at Google and Activision? Some people might not know about your background prior to Yuga Labs, but you've had some pretty notable positions at some pretty notable companies, including Google, for over a decade. You've been at Yuga Labs for 10 months. I'm wondering what that trial by fire has been like compared to your previous positions.
First, you're right. I was at Google for 16, 17 years. So I actually joined it when it was a relatively small company, actually almost the size of Yuga Labs. Then Activision was already a large company, you know, 12,000 employees and some of the most iconic games. I'd say the, you know, at Activision, for instance, when we launched, I don't know, Call of Duty or World of Warcraft game, we would announce it on Twitter. We would announce it on any of the social channels, and you'd get people would say, "Hey, love the game" or "hate the game," but then you just stuck with it. And games would usually take about 2 to 3 years to make, launch it, market it, and you engage with the community. But for all intents and purposes, it was a one-way street: launch it, sell it, and you're done. Here, the importance of listening to the community and getting real-time feedback is, obviously Twitter being as important as it is something it's taken some getting used to. You know, like the sentiment changes from week to week, day to day, and sometimes from minute to minute. And then the other part is developing in real time, you know, actually being much more open and transparent with the community as to what it is that we're doing, and launch things that may not necessarily be perfect, but we iterate and get some initial feedback from the community. That's actually been very, very powerful. It reminds me, honestly, of the early, early, early days of Google, when we would launch products that were not really ready for prime time, and the developer community would immediately give us feedback, and we would launch early and iterate fast. That's been actually one of the biggest lessons for me at Yuga Labs.
What, one quick question on that. How do you explain this to your former business partners, your current job? Like what literally, how do you describe it to them?
They think I'm crazy. So, you know, they want me to go to some, institution to kind of check my mental state, and crazy, not necessarily because they think the business is, not real or anything of the sort. It's my entire career. First, my family's in radio. I've worked in music business, obviously worked at Google, worked at Activision. And at every single juncture, the idea of owning IP and owning your brand is, at the core of what the business is all about. And they think it's hard for people who've been in the media business and the IP and brand building business to get their arms around, wait, you don't own the brand? The community owns the brand, and the community is actually building the brand together with you. That's really hard to get your head around. And that's usually the longest conversation. I said, no, let me explain to you. You know, if you look at a brand like, Mickey Mouse or McDonald's or whatever, the amount of time it actually takes to be able to build it and the investment that's required versus, hey, why don't you give the IP to a community? The community builds it together with you. They invest in building the brand. That's a revolutionary new way of thinking about IP and brand creation. And, I go to meetings and, whoever gives me a sticker, I always put it on my phone. So, this is one of our apes, gave this to me. And that's my calling card. When they go, "What do you do?" I said, I go like this. And they immediately go, "Oh, wait, I've seen that before." And you think, wait, that was created in a matter of months. You know, think about the number of years it takes to create other brands, and people just go, "Oh yeah, I think I've seen that somewhere. I've seen the ad for it." No, the community helped build it.
So we want to break in the interview into three separate areas. We got community, gaming, and partnerships, which is what you outlined in your blog post from, I guess, 6 months ago, or maybe it was October. I don't know. So we'll start off with the community. And community at the heart, obviously, started with Bored Apes and then Mutant Ape Yacht Club in that year. But you also joined after thousands of tokens have been issued. There's 10KTF, there's CryptoPunks, there's Bored Ape Kennel Club, there's Other Sides, Other Deed, there's CODAs, and then there's also a number of others, Vessels, there's all sorts of different assets in it. How do you think about community and specifically tokenized communities as like after having joined?
Yeah, that, you know, just when you go through the list of everything that this company has created in a matter of a few months, it's a lot. You know, the output has been tremendous. And I've actually tried to compartmentalize things. So first, I start with CryptoPunks, Meebits, and Bored Ape and Mutant Ape. And you know, when I first became CEO, honestly, the community sentiment around CryptoPunks was not in a good place. You know, it was a "you don't do enough for us, but please don't touch us." You know, and it was kind of like that dichotomy of what they wanted. And we looked at it and said, "Look, let's understand this community well. And what is it that is really important to them?" And for the CryptoPunks community, it's about art. You know, it's at the core about art. They're passionate about high-end art, and you know, how iconic CryptoPunks is, not only in the crypto space but also in the overall art world. So we spent a lot of time actually getting CryptoPunks in museums, you know, elevating the artistry of CryptoPunks, and then getting the community together. And that's worked out really well. I think the community sentiment from CryptoPunks has been very, very positive. Bored Ape and Mutant Ape is a very, very different community. It's much more, I'll call it entrepreneurial. You know, the fact that you have the Made by Apes, so we have over 800 Made by Apes businesses, you know, that are created or being created, the affinity to gaming and other digital experiences. So we've been really leaning into that with the Bored and the Mutant Ape communities of helping them build businesses, you know, with the MBA licenses, keeping them very connected. And then also working through the evolution of gaming and Other Side going forward and ensuring that all the assets that we have ongoing experiences that bring the communities together. It hasn't been easy. You know, it's you go through the ups and the downs, but at the core, we realize if we stay absolutely focused on what makes this special, you know, what makes the CryptoPunks community special in their own way, what makes the Meebits community special in their own way, and the Bored Ape and Mutant Ape and Kennel Club communities in their own way. Focus on delivering great experiences and connections, and the rest will follow.
One of the things that's difficult, I would say, and this comes from people who have our own community and our own holders, is, and this is back to sort of the tokenized side of things, is that community can be very vocal. They tend to universally be focused on, well, not universally, as you, there's obviously people building brands within your ecosystem, as you're referring to with Made by Apes, but they're very focused on price. They're very focused on public communication. And that's like a really key element of things. And recently, some of that community, we've seen vocal frustrations, including from like co-founder Gordon Gonner, as well as other like, you know, strong voices within the community. How would you rate Yuga's current communication? And like, what areas do you think there are for improvement? And how much do you actually think about vocal crypto Twitter, basically, when it applies to community? And like, where does that fit in for the community for you?
And Daniel, I see you typing that you might have a bad connection. We can see you. It's a little bit fuzzy, but we can see you. Can you hear?
I'm having a bad.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you give a thumbs up if you can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with the connection. Look, the importance of Twitter, I just mentioned it, you know, relative to Activision Blizzard, you know, when we launch games, the vibe and what makes particularly the BAYC community as unique and different is, how you have really different kinds of holders everywhere around the world, whether it's, you know, people who are just absolute crypto passionate, you know, that tends to be more the case here in the United States, whereas if you go to the Middle East or you go to Europe, you have people who are kind of dabbling in crypto, but what really attracts them about the Bored Ape Yacht Club is the brand and the brand prestige. So you have like a whole host of different kinds of holders in the space, and you have to listen to all of them. And Gordon has his own brand of special secret sauce, you know, that can get the entire industry really just all revved up and riled and excited. And, you know, I love that. I love that about him. And you have like a more measured Garga, who is just so passionate about the success of Yuga Labs and its various communities. And he's a little bit more reserved in the way he speaks on Twitter. But when he speaks, you really have to listen because his insights are absolutely tremendous. So I keep a close ear, one, on what's going on in Twitter just in general with the various communities. And, you know, I try to follow it as Asia Pacific wakes up and the Middle East and Europe wakes up to see where things are at. And but our founders are just tremendous. Their insights are incredible, and they can really get things really going. I'll tell you the biggest challenge that I've had as CEO of Yuga Labs has been that we have, and you're starting to see it, you know, with the announcements that we had with the Apes Come Home on Other Side, with Dookie Dash coming out. We've pre-announced a game that we're going to be launching later in the year. And then we have a number of also really interesting things that we have planned for Other Side for the rest of the year, for the Meebits community, and also for CryptoPunks. You've got this cadence of launches and things that we know that we're going to do. And then once in a while, you get flare-ups around Twitter. People say, hey, you know, this is not happening. What's going on? I need to hear right now. And the temptation is to answer those things with immediacy. Yeah. And, you know, this was actually the case 3-4 weeks ago, where there was like, we want to know. We said, well, it's coming. Don't worry. You know, we've got this, and we've got our regular plan of launches that we want to do. And that tension between the immediacy of what people want to know with staying true to the overall development plan of what we have, that's actually been trickier for me to manage as CEO. And in particular, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. If you look, you know, I had a call with an investor yesterday, an early investor in Yuga Labs. And his comment to me was the reason why they had invested in Yuga Labs in the first place is that, one, if there was such a thing as a blue chip in the space, it's us. The artistry, the dedication to storytelling, and then just a hyper focus on the highest level of creativity is what attracted them to invest in Yuga Labs. And, you know, things go up and down, and certain NFTs may be the flavor of the week or the flavor of the day or the flavor of the hour, or certain games may get launched that if you say, oh, well, you know, that got turned around really quickly, or certain universes are created. But we are so focused, and I think this, I know this comes from our founders, who are so methodical and focused on creativity, artistry, and storytelling, that we don't cut corners. You know, we don't cut corners in terms of the level of artistry of what we do. And then as a result, whereas things may go shoot up and then come crashing down, you look at the stability of the Bored Ape Yacht Club or CryptoPunks. We're in it for the long haul, and we're building for the long haul. And you know, the community members that stay with us, you know, with that mentality of there may be some blips here and there, but know that Yuga is committed to building a sustainable and long-term connected community. You know, the noise that you may hear of things going up and down come and go, but we stay strong and connected.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about it, the third birthday of Yuga Labs is coming up. It's kind of wild to think, you know, you talked about how long it takes to build a brand, and that if you show somebody a Bored Ape, they say, I've seen that before. It's only been it hasn't even been 3 years total. We're coming up on 3 years here. So very fascinating stuff. One question, Daniel, about ApeCoin. You know, we've seen some integrations with ApeCoin, primarily through the games that Yuga's developed. Obviously, you mentioned you have Dookie Dash 2 coming out. Is the game integration going to be the primary approach moving forward with ApeCoin, or are we going to see integrations with Magic Eden? People are speculating on that. Like, what is the kind of ApeCoin game plan moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, ApeCoin is an important component of the entire transaction ecosystem that we are building in our games, that we want to build into other side. And also the rewards mechanisms that we're going to have in Dookie Dash, and then in the other gaming experience that we have, is going to be a core component of the way we do the rewards and the settlements in our experiences. It's, you know, we really want to make sure that the experience is cohesive and clear, and that it all flows very, very well. Dookie Dash, I'm so excited about it. You know, Dookie Dash V1 came out before I was CEO, and I was still at Activision, and I was looking at the stats, you know, of Dookie Dash V1, and they were just astounding. You know, like, there were things where Garga and Gordon would send me and say, oh, you know, here's how it's doing. I say, no, there must be something wrong here, because you don't see this level of engagement. You know, I ran Candy Crush when I was at Activision, and, you know, I was comparing one with the other. I said, no, this can't be right. And it was right. And it was really because the game experience was good. The community was super jazzed and connected. And we had actually a lot of learnings from that. So when we did Dookie Dash V2 and have been working on it for quite some time, we started pivoting towards something that is very important to me as CEO, and that is to ensure that not only that our community can participate and has, you know, benefits of ownership of our NFTs in playing the game, but that we also make it free to play, and we actually expand the universe of Web3 or Web2 players who can actually participate in a Web3 experience. And what's key to this is that they can actually play Dookie Dash, experience what Web3 is, but not realize that they're in Web3. You know, there's a big hurdle to go from Web2 to Web3 when you just have to start setting up your wallet and understand how it all works. But if you have a great experience, like what we're building in Dookie Dash, Unclogged, and provide an avenue for people to be able to play free to play. We're committed to growing that funnel and bringing more Web2 into Web3, and then ongoing throughout the rest of 2024, as we start having more activations with other side and bringing more digital experience with other side. You know, the whole plan is that we're bringing the communities, our communities together onto other side, but also be inviting and open to new communities to join. And underpinning a lot of the interoperability in the exchange is ApeCoin, and it's something that's going to be critical to what we do, not only in gaming, but also on the other side.
So we wanted to give Bunny an opportunity to ask a question, but real quick, I just wanted to say we're going to move on from community to gaming in a moment, since that's your area of expertise. But yeah, Bunny had another question on the community side.
Hey, Dan, it's me, Bunny, very rare and famous Bored Ape on Twitter. what are your metrics of success when it comes to the community? Like, how do you measure that both short and long term?
You know, the big key for me is to ensure, like, if you look at the metrics that you use in gaming, it's all about reach, engagement, and monetization. Like, those are the three things that matter in gaming. If you look at Google in the early days, and even now, their focus has been on being able to provide an offering that attracts as many people as possible, and then you figure out the monetization thereafter. And you know, I've been internalizing a lot about those two different models. One is go for eyeballs, and the other one is go for monetizable eyeballs, you know, in a traditional way that you make money on games. And for me, the most important piece here is to ensure that we've got really strong engagement. Like, engagement is what really matters. You know, if you have a Bored Ape community that's passionate about what we do, passionate about being a holder, you know, setting up their own community events around ApeFest, like what happened in Hong Kong, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit that they had to bring people from all over the place and invite them, that level of engagement is absolutely critical. And if you don't have that strong engagement, then a number of things start falling apart, right? You know, the value of the brand, the investment that some of our holders have in building MBA businesses. So engagement is number one. And then what I want Yuga to become, and I really look at us as being the front door to Web3. And in particular, because we have the most recognizable brands in the space, and also outside the space, as I said, you know, when you just kind of show this and people know what it is that we're talking about, how can we create experiences that we can actually bring more and more members to the community? And it's not with gimmicks, you know, like, we're not trying to sell them a little trinket here or a little trinket there. It really is about connection and engagement. And, you know, we talked about community, talked about obviously other side and gaming. And the third leg to this is our overall partnerships, you know, and partnerships is not only the collabs, like I see some of you wearing with Bathing Ape, you know, the great collabs that we've done with Gucci or with BMW to date, but also working with, you know, exchanges like Magic Eden that fundamentally are believers in creator royalties, working with gaming companies who can actually create and innovate on other side, working with developers who are creating UGC content for Dookie Dash Unclogged. You know, I remember, and I'm sorry I'm giving you a long answer to your question, but I remember the early days of YouTube when we acquired YouTube, we being Google. And YouTube used to be baby videos and cat videos. And what we thought was that YouTube was eventually going to become what Netflix became, right? That we would get licensed content from the majors and turn it into a subscription business. But what happened is, if you create a platform where people can create content, find ways to monetize that content as creators, a whole creator economy evolved. And You know, the amount of content that is now put on YouTube is incredible, and really, really good content as well. And also, you've got influencers who can make money off of it. You've got agencies who make money off of it. And that cycle of creativity just feeds on itself. Imagine if Other Side can really be the equivalent of what YouTube was to the internet, Other Side can be to Web3. And what I mean by that is you don't have that 30, 40, or sometimes even 60 and 70% toll that the Googles and the Apples take, you know, when they distribute the content. So there's much more available for the creators. And you create an environment where creators and communities can connect and build. Honestly, we're just in the early, early innings of what's going to be a spectacular platform creation that is anchored on decentralization to Web3.
Definitely the early innings. I want to throw to Signal as one question. I know that you have to jump soon, Daniel, but we have some rapid fire questions for after that. Signal, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel. So my question is, when we talk about Yuga, we always refer to it in the gaming context. And I remember in your October post, you wrote that you don't want Yuga to be a gaming company per se. How would you refer to Yuga now? Like when people talk about it, how do you want people to refer to it in which category?
Yeah. The reason why I said that is gaming is really tough. You know, it's very hard to make successful games, you know, one after the other after the other. And what I really care about is to provide a platform or a way for creators to create unique content and to be able to connect it to our communities and other communities. So why we're so focused, obviously, on building out the Bored Ape Yacht Club and Mutant Apes and CryptoPunks and Meebits is that we know that we've got the best communities in Web3. And what we want to do is create a platform where creators can actually bring their innovative content and not only expose it to our communities, but potentially bring new communities on board. And that's what we are. We are essentially creating a community-based platform where innovators, entrepreneurs, and creators can create unique experiences, and the communities get stronger, the creators get stronger, and the whole flywheel continues to go. So why we're doing gaming is we are seeding the idea and the kernels of how gaming can really transform a Web2 experience into a much more powerful Web3 experience and bring new members onto our ecosystem. And if we show what you can do with Web3 gaming, then we want to attract other gaming companies to help innovate and evangelize what Web3 can do. And as the communities rise and more people enter Web3, everyone will benefit.
So we're going to jump into the rapid fire. We can just run down. I'm assuming the other speakers are here in the document, because I know you only got a couple minutes left. Bunny, you want to kick off the first one? I know you'd written this down before.
Nope, I put it down.
What's that?
Hold on.
All right, Bunny, you can...
It for you. What's your favorite Bored Ape trait? You were the one that sent us the question, Bunny.
That's a good question.
You know, it used to be the hat, yeah. But I'm very happy, but I also curse whoever gave me this, because the upper the bitten bottom lip is something that now every time I turn my phone I see it, and I have just become addicted to that trait. So you're likely going to be seeing me dabble in some of those traits that I don't currently hold in my portfolio.
Well, there we go. I'll ask the next one. Favorite non-Yuga Labs NFT, and why is it Bodago's?
Wow, that's good. You know, I was first exposed to doodles even before I knew what Bored Ape was and CryptoPunks. But it's hard now for me to really be thinking about anything else, because there's so much exploration that I'm still doing with our own communities that I'm really focused on what's within the Yuga family.
Yep, makes sense. One question, how is the in-person yacht club coming along?
You know, if I reveal to you exactly what we're up to, I'd have to cause bodily harm to you. I'd rather not tell you. But look, we've gotten a lot of feedback from the community about what it is that they're looking for, and there's actually some very different points of views from a in real life club to do we have a rotating club. We got some really interesting plans that we have for that, and you'll hear about it.
We got
sooner than later. We
got the Bored Ape party bus coming along. Bunny, you want to ask the next one?
Do you own any meme coins?
I do not.
Do you have any non-meme coins that you hold? And if so, what's your favorite?
I do. And, you know, I'm very careful of answering these questions, because if I do, then it tips my hand towards something, and invariably I'm going to deal with a Twitter sphere that is going to drain my entire day. So I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
How about top five? So then you can be a little more all encompassing.
Yeah, five is, I'm going to plead the fifth.
All right. There you go. Is it true that 1 year working in Web3 ages you 5 years?
You know, when you said to me that I've been now CEO for 9 months or 10 months, I think, dang. You know, I was listening to an interview the other day about dogs and how happy dogs are, you know, day in, day out. And the quote that someone said was, one day in the dog year is the equivalent to a week and a half in human years. And I think that's a good ratio. You know, if you think about the amount of time that you spend here, multiply it by 7 to 8 is the equivalent of any other job anywhere else.
That's why we're a big fan of dog NFTs. what's been your favorite moment so far in Web3?
I can't. Nothing has come as close to the experience of ApeFest in Hong Kong, honestly. Just the love, the connection, you know, the number of pats I got on my back, and I kept thinking, oh, you know, people like what I'm doing, and then realize that they're actually putting stickers on my back. And then at the end of the day, looking like, wow, look at all the stickers that I had on there. That was absolutely incredible. But even as incredible was not ApeFest itself, but it was actually all the community events around ApeFest, as I mentioned earlier, where, you know, it was Thursday, it was Friday, it was Saturday, it was Sunday, all these communities that came together and created ways for people to connect in and around ApeFest was absolutely extraordinary and unique.
Damn, better dancer, you or Garga?
I have only seen Garga's little clips of videos of
that's all I've seen. Yeah.
And I blow him out of the water.
Let's go.
Really? Really? That's how he dances? Yeah. No. But you know what? He's I may dance better, but he's cooler in the way he dances. There's such a thing.
Very diplomatic. Last question. So Activision, your former employer, has made games like Diablo, World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, all huge, huge, huge names in the video game business. Which is your favorite?
Diablo. You know, I've always been a big Diablo fan. I was so excited to be able to run a company that had such an iconic brand. But I'll tell you, a very, very, very close second and maybe even first is what you're all going to experience with Dookie Dash Unclogged. It's awesome.
I know Pio said it was the last question, but I have a question about that, which is, do you just compare that? Is the goal of this to become sort of the next prolific runner game on mobile?
It is going to be cross-platform. And it's a, you know, it's a great casual game, but it really is about fun, easy experiences, easy to understand how to play it and get connected to it, a little bit like Candy Crush. But the overarching and underlying rationale behind it is we want to evangelize what Web3 can really do to Web2 experiences and get people really jazzed and understand not only about what Dookie Dash is, but what our communities are all about and bring more people into the Web3. As I said, I want Yuga Labs to be the front door to Web3, and this is a core strategy of that.
Well, that's awesome. Is there anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
Well, first I would say thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I listen to you all the time. And it's an honor to be here. But the other part I'd say is to all our listeners and all our community members, know that every single person at Yuga Labs fundamentally cares about everything that we do. 2024 has started with a bang, and we're going to continue to build some great, great experiences. But we obviously need to do this together as a community-based development and project. And I couldn't be happier to age 8 times faster than I normally would at any other company, because this is actually the most fascinating and exciting space I have ever been involved in. And I've been involved in some really cool spaces.
Amen to that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Allegra, the CEO of Yuga Labs, proud member of Bored Ape Yacht Club, Mutant Ape Yacht Club, and the other Bored Ape communities. Follow him at D Allegra on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us, Daniel. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye, guys.
See ya. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a great interview there with Daniel. We are going to wrap here. We do the show, if it's your first time listening, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, right here on Twitter Spaces, simulcast to YouTube and X platform video. So we're everywhere that you get your content. If you want the video feed, check it out on YouTube or X platform. Also available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. If you want to share it with someone outside of the Twitter bubble, or if you want to listen back on 1.5x speed, whatever you want to do, we're there. But anyway, thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, another banging show, 9 a.m. Eastern. Really great time having Daniel on the show today. Clemente, I think you can cue up the music, and we're ready to get out of here. See you guys later. Thanks for listening.